Welcome to Shortlisted, the podcast where we take a top 10 list from the internet and talk about it for 60 minutes. We just set a timer, talk for an hour, and then shut up, whether or not we've made it through the list. We're not exactly racing the clock, we're just shortlisting the facts. Yeah, okay, so, I don't know you. You're a stranger. And like you always should do, we met on the internet and exchanged personal information. No, so we're both in that Podcasting Smarter group, which I think, isn't that a Podbean group? Because we both host on Podbean.
Yeah, it is. Like, yeah. I found out about that because a friend of mine who has a podcast called Stacey's Pop Culture Parlor, she got featured on that, and they interviewed her on the podcast for that.
Oh,
and
that's really cool.
Yeah, and that's how I found out about the group, and I joined it.
Right. I think I must have seen it in an email or something, because we were just brand new with our other podcast, just brand new baby podcast. So I was looking for any help I could get. But anyway, there was a thread that said something about if time and money weren't an issue, what podcast would you do? And there were a lot of really neat ideas in there, I thought.
Yeah.
A lot of people came up with creative stuff. But you had posted that it wasn't time and money that was your issue. It was a co-host. So I was like, well, does the co-host have to do any work? Because if all she has to do is talk, then that's cool. So completely random stranger on the internet in a similar Facebook group kind of thing, I guess.
Yeah, but you talk about if all you have to do is talk, but then today you're like, I'm going to create an email and a website.
I know. It's because I have this other big looming project that it's fun and like I'm looking forward to doing it, but it's really hard. And so I have been procrastinating as much as possible with other projects. So I made a blog and an email.
Well, it's like with me right now, I'm currently working on my next book in my book series.
Uh-huh.
And then I'm like, oh, I'm going to do even more stuff. And it's like, I already got 800 things I'm doing, so.
Right. Why not add a few more? I always find that I am the most productive when I have something that I really need to do and don't want to start. Yeah. I can get so much stuff done.
Well, I found out, like, you know how a lot of people are like, well, if I had all day to do stuff, they think they can get a lot done. Well, I was unemployed for like a year and a half.
Yeah.
And I thought at the very beginning, I was like, well, until I get a job, I'll just write all the time. No. You got all the time in the world, you'll make all the excuses in the world.
Absolutely. That's me every summer when school is out. I'm like, all right, here's the to-do list. We're going to fix the backyard and we're going to cut down these trees and we're going to wash our floors. And we get to the end of the summer and we're like, well, I mean, I watched like 30 episodes of Sherlock, so surely that counts.
That's like every episode, ain't it? There's only like 30.
I know. I don't even think there's that many. I think it's like 16 or something. But you know, if you watch them more than once, I guess that would count.
Yeah, that's true. I think we've watched them more than once.
Oh, I know I have. I have a good friend who is obsessed. She doesn't have family pictures in her home. She has like artwork of Sherlock everywhere.
That would be cool. I think we actually got some here somewhere.
Yeah. I don't think I have any Sherlock artwork, but I certainly have a lot of Harry Potter stuff.
It reminds me, like, when I posted my comment to that thing, you were about the only person I seen that was in any of the threads where people posted. It was like, oh, do you want to do something with somebody?
Yeah.
Or something like that.
I was like, how about a stranger online?
Well, no, it seems like unusual because, like, one of the points of that and the person who runs it all the time posting stuff were, oh, people share information or be guests, and, like, hardly anybody actually does it.
Yeah. There is always, like, the Toot Your Horn Tuesday thing, and I always make sure to post there. But there's not a lot of interactivity. I find, like, Twitter is a good place for interacting with other podcasters.
Yeah, that's where I get all the guests for my podcast is on Twitter.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah. Definitely. So,
like, this month's list you came up with, do you want to talk about it first?
Sure. So, I had no idea what to do, so I copied you and I just hit the random button on list first, which I think yielded a really cool result, but I also don't think I'll do it again, but I'll tell you about that later. But so it came up with the top 10 bizarre Victorian inventions. I thought that's super cool because anything Victorian is super cool. And these are strange things that they made. So it was a list first article posted on November 23rd, 2012. And just for a tiny bit of background, you know, it's the list of it's a top 10 because that's what we do. But the Victorian era was like 1837 to 1901 while Queen Victoria was alive and reigning. And these are not actually all inventions. Some of them are just concepts, but some of them they actually created.
Yeah. And reading through them, my first thought was I actually didn't consider that many of them bizarre to begin with.
No, some of them were very commonplace. And or things that we still have today. So it doesn't seem strange to us because it's just in our house. So, but they were pretty neat. And I bet that they were very interesting at the time.
Yeah, I would think they would be too, because with mass newspapers and stuff like that, there were probably tons of these things that just fascinate people.
Right. Well, right. And they had just started like barely with electricity and electric lighting. And they had just started. I mean, there was like a lot of that's sort of the time when the world started to really quickly progress through technology. So everything was probably new and cool. And you have to have it like it is now. Right. As soon as the new phone comes out or the new gadget comes out, you have to have it.
Yeah. And around this time is when they were doing all the world's fairs that had like all the inventions and stuff, which reminds me with your other podcast. Have you ever did the world famous serial killer that was on there?
No, H.H. Holmes, right? Yep. We have not. A couple of the podcasts that I listen to religiously and kind of stalk on social media, and that's why we drink, have done them. And it's awesome. But we haven't done, we've been looking for sort of off the beaten path kinds of things. Although I guess we have done a couple popular ones like Mivis and a couple of others. But we have not done H.H. Holmes.
Yeah. My favorite on yours is what I call the quilt one.
Yes, with the old serial killers that are like a husband and wife that no one would ever suspect.
I still think that should be y'all's t-shirt where the judge is like, but you made the quilt or whatever.
Right, right. We need to find that. I still have not seen a picture of that quilt. I don't know if one exists, but I feel like somewhere there's a picture of this quilt. Creepy as all get out. I wish that I was good. Like some podcasters I hear are like, oh, that was episode 7. I don't have a clue which episode that was, but I remember recording it.
Do you want to start with the first one and we'll start talking?
Yeah. Are you going to set a timer?
Yeah, I'm going to start it right now.
Excellent. Ready, set, go. All right. So I think what I might do is post some of these pictures to the blog that I just created, which is shortlistedpod.wordpress.com, just because I think you really need to see some of these wacky inventions. They're all like hand-drawn illustrations or whatever, but they're very interesting. But the first one on there is an automatic smoking machine. And this is where I suddenly realized that list first does not require any amount of research. So this, I'll read you what it said on the description, but then I have some actual facts about it instead. So this machine looks like it probably is it's like blowing air, and then you can stick little cigarettes or cigars on it, and there's a whole bunch all in a row, and it'll blow or suck air so that like it's automatically smoking one of these things. And their take on it was, in the Victorian era, smoking was commonplace. Opiates were as freely available as present-day crisps, and pipes filled with various types of tobacco were to be found in almost every home. All this open smoking resulted in fine establishments such as bars and pubs being clouded with various types of smoke. But what if your own establishment lacked smokers? What if you desperately desired the unpleasant stench and poor visibility which came with the popularity? Well, it was for individuals suffering under the weight of these needs that the automatic smoking machine was invented. As depicted in the image above, or I'll put it on the blog, or you can go to List First and look for it, the machine was used to smoke cigars in place of a human. Thus, you could fill a room with odor without ever laying your lips on a cigar or a pipe. And based on that, yes, totally bizarre invention.
Yeah, I was thinking my first thought when I'm, well, there's two things I first thought of. One is I burn a lot of incense, so it kind of reminded me of that in a way, like burning incense. And my second thought was like, do you remember when the actor Woody Harrelson was doing like the air bars? Like he was selling air, like literally air. You would go in, you put a face mask on and breathe air and he would charge
like
you
for oxygen
it.
Bars.
Yeah.
I do. Yeah.
So it kind of reminded me of that, but you know, they're basically for atmosphere. So it's like kind of like a new car smell, like the sprays they have that at that, or vendors kind of putting popcorn in, like in offices, they'll put it in microwaves to get you smelling that.
Right. Or baked cookies if you're going to show your house for sale or whatever.
Yeah, that's a good example. Yeah. That's what it kind of reminded me of.
I agree. But then I did some research and I was really disappointed. So now I'm going to bum everybody out if that's okay. So it turns out that there are other people on the internet who read this and went, I don't think that quite feels right, and did some more research. And it's pretty much 100% wrong. Like the smoking machine actually existed, and this may very well be an illustration of it. And it really did automatically smoke things, but it wasn't something that you would sell to an establishment so they could create like a popularity, like an ambiance or a smell or anything like that. It was actually for manufacturers so that they could test their cigars and cigarettes for how easy they were to light, how long they burned, how often you'd have to use them to keep them going, that kind of thing. So it was actually a manufacturing tool, which is not nearly as cool, but makes a lot more sense.
It's better than what they did in like the 70s. Do you know about how when they would give them the monkeys and other animals to smoke?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, to test like bad effects, side effects and things.
Well, they'd also give it to them. Like they teach them how to smoke to see how long it would last and stuff like that too. Oh. So it's like awful.
That is terrible. Yeah, an automatic smoking machine is a way better idea than a smoking monkey. Mm-hmm. Except for on Big Bang Theory. Do you ever watch that?
Yeah, I haven't watched like the last couple of seasons because we don't have cable, but like, I used to watch it.
The episode where Bernadette teaches the monkey to smoke to study addiction, and then the monkey becomes an asshole and like...
Yeah, I remember. Like, it throws stuff at her apartment
and
stuff.
When she tries to get it to quit. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, granted, that is fiction, so it's okay, but...
Yeah, there was a famous photo going around. There was two about smoking not too long ago, like a year or two ago. There's one with like a monkey at a zoo smoking because somebody threw it cigarettes.
Oh, that's terrible. Well, that's not even nice.
Yeah, and then there was another one of a, like, it was in, I forgot where it was. It may have been Japan, in a very poor area. There was a little kid sitting smoking. Somebody filmed him, and it was like a little, like, five-year-old kid.
In other parts of the world, I think that is not abnormal. I think probably in parts of the U.S. at times that has been not abnormal. But I saw it was a poster or a bookmark or something that was part of an anti-smoking campaign at a middle school I was at this week. And all it said was, most people don't smoke. And I was like, that is so bizarre because it's got to be trying to use peer pressure to keep people from smoking.
Yeah.
But like all these years we've been telling kids, don't give in to peer pressure, don't smoke. And now they're trying to use it to keep them from smoking. Seems backwards.
Yeah, it is. And that kind of reminds me of two creators with movies and TV. If you look in the background or the work, there's anti-smoking posters. One is Josh Whedon with Buffy. If you look in the background, there's tons of anti-smoking commercials. And
that's cool.
And then the other one is Kevin Smith, the creator of like movies like Mallrats and stuff.
He has
these posters called Nails, and it's a brand of cigarettes, and they're in the background of all his and stuff.
And are they like evil, like stupid things?
And also a third thing about smoking is, if you know Marvel Comics, they're not allowed to smoke in any of the comics.
Oh, good.
Yep.
I mean, I think that's fine, because if you normalize it, then people will do it. If we make it a little bit taboo, then I don't have to cough every time I walk into Walmart.
Yeah.
So.
And there was a number of characters that used to smoke, like Nick Fury and Ben Grimm, the Thing from the Fantastic Four. So it's a big deal.
Yeah. No, yeah, that's true. Well, and I think it's just really changed, like, culturally. I was watching somebody walk in the other day to a store and she was smoking. And I just thought, that's so weird. Like, other than hanging out right outside the store, I never see anyone smoke anymore. And it's super nice.
Yeah, I tell friends of mine about when I was younger, going in and buying cigarettes for like relatives when I was really little. And,
yeah.
And most of my friends are younger than me and they're like, oh, that's so weird. And I was like, I remember going in restaurants and it was covered with smoke and stuff.
Yeah, I remember when there was smoking in Taco Bell and you had to sit in the non-smoking section. And
yeah,
like,
because smoke doesn't drift over to that area.
No, it doesn't. It's got like an invisible shield. It's not like my taco tastes like cigarettes. So anyway, I rated this invention 2 stars out of 5 because I thought it was great that they were going to automate a task and like not have some poor person sitting there smoking a cigarette to see how good it was. But at the same time, like if we just didn't have cigarettes and cigars, I'd be perfectly fine with that. So meh, I don't need this machine.
Well, I gave it like 3 stars out of 5. And my main reason was because like it made me start thinking about a bunch of different stuff. And yeah. I like the simplicity of like a machine that would just smoke something. Like it might not have much of a function, but a basic invention, and it got my mind racing about other stuff. So I'd give it probably 3, but as an actual invention of the time. And who knows, this may have led to smoke machines for movies and stuff like that. Who knows?
Sure. That was what I got when I Googled it. Was a whole bunch of like smoke machines that are current.
Which, by the way, if you've ever been on a movie set, those things are created by these really toxic chemicals and it's like awful to breathe.
Oh, great. That's great.
Yep.
And then they throw in the stunt doubles and extras, right?
It's like snow on a movie set. Well, it's not now because they got better stuff for it, but it used to be plastic. It used to be little bits of plastic that they would use.
Can you imagine being covered in that and trying to get it like out of your hair? And
just inhaling it and stuff, too.
Yeah. Ugh.
Let's get off smoking to something else.
Okay. All right. So the next one is just fun. So number 2 is a many-purpose cane. It's a multi-purpose cane, and it is a gentleman's walking cane. And it is, if you can take it apart, there's a butterfly net. There's let me go on to where the description is. There's an umbrella. There's my favorite thing about the whole thing is that there's a picture of the guy. Apparently there's a flute as part of this cane. So you like unscrew it and then just sit down and play the flute. And there's like a thing to hold your pipe and there's a thing to measure horses. It is the most bizarre a grouping of things that somebody might want to do.
But I actually love this one. Like, of all these, to not get to my rating right away, but it's my favorite, I have to say.
Is it?
Yeah.
I agree. It's very, like, innocent. Like, he's going to measure a horse and catch a butterfly and play a flute and walk in the rain. Like, it's all just very cute stuff.
Of the many things you'll find out that I'm a little bit weird about, I actually have a sitting cane, if you've ever seen one, with the little fold-out on the top of it.
Oh, yeah?
I have one of those it's got the handle and it folds to the side, both parts of the handle, and you can sit on it.
Oh,
and,
okay.
And I got it for fishing. So. But I also have it, but also have another kind of weird thing along the same lines because I love the old TV show, The Avengers. I don't know if you've ever seen it.
I'm sure my husband has.
Yeah, the old British TV show, The Avengers, he has a lot of trick umbrellas. Well, one year a friend of mine bought me this umbrella that actually the handle pulls back and it's actually a sword.
Oh, very, very cool.
So it's a fully functioning umbrella, but if you want to, you can pull the handle off. So this kind of reminded me of that stuff.
Right. Well, when I was doing some research on it, because after number 1, I felt like I really needed to research all of them and make sure they were things that existed. but one thing I found was a bunch of like modern canes that were sort of the same idea. Like there was one that had a bunch of flares hidden in it, but there was another one that you could unscrew into 3 parts and then put this like canvas seat on it and make it into a chair, which was really neat. It must have been a tall cane to begin with or a very short chair, but either way, it was really neat.
Well, the one I got, the handle on it ends up looking like it's about the size of if you put both your hands together flat.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not very big, but...
this one wasn't... The seat wasn't very big.
Yeah, but...
That's really neat.
Those type of inventions from that time that you see is always, like, fascinating to me.
Right, like somebody was like, what else could we do with this cane? Yeah. If we unscrew it, could we catch butterflies?
And you know, there's like, if you've ever read many steampunk books, there are always like canes and stuff that do stuff like that.
Yeah, yes. All of this was very much like, I think it really appealed to my like kind of steampunk aesthetic that I wish I had, but I'm not really cool enough. I gave it four out of five stars because I thought it was clever and adorable. And if I'd walked into a shop, I would buy it, but I have no need for it in my life.
Yeah, like I said, it was my favorite, so I gave it 5 out of 5. I would buy one of these in a second if I could.
Yeah, it would be fun to have around. I would annoy everybody that came over. I'd be like, okay, but look at what this cane can do.
It's like I have a Harry Potter umbrella, and that thing's extra large from a regular umbrella. We got it at the Wizarding World.
I'm so jealous, and I can't believe I've never been there.
It's not far from us. It's probably about maybe 30 minutes to an hour drive, maybe.
Yep, kind of hate you. You.
But it's an extra large, like, Gryffindor umbrella.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people see it, and they're like, that thing's huge. I was like, I know, but I needed to get it.
Right. Plus, I'm not getting wet at all. That's cool. All right, so ready to move on to number 3?
Yep.
All right, so I reversed the order. This really should be like number 7, but when I wrote my list, I made it backwards. So the third one is a stamp licker. And this one is really interesting. So because I did some research and found out some really neat things about stamps and mail that I just never thought about before. But their description is, when you're sending massive amounts of correspondence, licking stamps becomes more exhausting than a marathon, which I think is a little bit of an over-exaggeration. But this invention may come in handy. Coming in multiple forms, the device wet the glue on a stamp without the use of saliva so that one could make the stamp stick without having to use their tongue. In an era where written documents were the most common form of communication, this device, despite its unusual form and purpose, certainly had a place in the average household. And I could not verify that these actual pictures were Victorian stamp lickers, but it is definitely plausible because they had just started using stamps and they would have had the kind of adhesive that you need to wet. And so, yeah, it seems plausible.
Yeah, like I had two thoughts, and one was completely silly and one was like based on a pop culture thing. One was like, my first thought was like, oh, that's what you should use your kids for.
It is, though. I used to do that when I was little and my mom was setting out Christmas cards. She'd be like, you're licking stamps and you're licking envelopes.
Yeah. And my second thought was like the TV show Seinfeld, where George's wife licks all the stamps for their wedding and ends up dying.
Oh no!
She gets poisoned. Yeah, he goes out. He buys these really, really cheap envelopes, and she licks them, and she gets poisoned by it and dies.
Oh my gosh, that's so tragic.
Yeah.
That's terrible. Yeah, no thanks. Okay. But when we were little, like, stamps are a little bit sweet. We thought that was the best job ever, was to lick the stamps in the envelopes.
Yeah, I don't even think, I seem to remember something about the first stamps. They didn't stick or anything like that. There was something like, I can't remember. I think just your saliva stuck it on originally.
Okay, so here, I actually have some of that. So, 1840 was when stamps were really invented for the first time. Before that, when you would receive mail, you had to pay the mail carrier, and it was based on like how many pages and how far it had traveled. But they decided that it would be much more efficient and mail carriers wouldn't have to carry cash and risk getting robbed. And so they decided that any letter or package under a certain weight could travel, you know, within this radius for a just flat fee. So you could prepay at like a post office and get a stamp. So just like we do now. And the only thing that I found, like, they definitely had the gum that they put on the back of the stamps, like, pretty much from the beginning, but it wasn't used everywhere. So like, if you were really wealthy, you would probably have gummed stamps. But if you were just in some town in the middle of nowhere, then if you had stamps, you'd have to stick them yourself. So
that,
yeah,
that kind of reminds me of when I was little, when they used to do cash on delivery, which I don't think they do now.
Yeah, I don't know. You know what though? I got a package recently. Bizarrely, they delivered it, but then they held it at the post office, and they said that the person sending it had not paid enough postage.
Huh.
And so I had to pay the balance. It was really strange.
That reminds me, I used to send things to my friends overseas a lot, but now because of a lot of the stuff going on, like the whole UK leaving Europe thing.
Yeah.
Like, now there's more tax and, like, import taxes on stuff.
Oh, sure, yeah.
And I sent my friend a gift not too long ago, and you used to be able to send, like, small gift items and you didn't have to pay import. And I sent it to her. She had to pay, like, $60 to go get it.
Ugh.
And it was only like a $5 item or something like that.
Right. Like, oh. She's been like, don't, just leave it at customs. I'll send you a picture of what it was. It's not that great. So, what did you rate this one?
I rated it like 4 because it is a really practical thing. And if they actually had the ones that they showed, one, I think it would be neat to have one that's a dog's tongue sticking out.
Yeah, the picture is very cool. It's sort of creepy. I don't know that it'd be so useful, but it's funny.
Plus the fact that, like, okay, they have those sponges. They've always had those for people to put stamps on. So, practically, the picture of it and everything else could work if you made that and stuff.
Sure. And it's definitely, we have this kind of thing, like it's stuck around. So if you work in a bank or a post office or, and you can have the little things that you use to separate money that are always, they kind of stay wet. And this kind of concept still exists. I rated it 3. I thought it wasn't very interesting, but it was really useful. But I thought that stamps really should have been the bizarre invention, because imagine how sort of life-changing stamps, the idea of stamps would have been.
Yeah. I mean, the whole idea of like the more people who can use mail, the more revolutionary thing it is. Like when we first had public postal service, that made everybody could send mail, everybody could order things and stuff like that.
Right. And then email and phones and texting and not in that order, obviously, but, every time we come up with some new way of communicating, then ideas spread faster and things get done. I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah, and I'm happy now that stamps are basically stickers.
Yep, I agree. You don't have to lick them.
Though I keep stamps so long in my wallet, it ends up being like the price changes before I use them.
I know that. Well, I only ever buy Forever stamps. I'll never buy a stamp that has a number on it.
I think I got some in my wallet right now, and I've had them about forever.
Yeah. Because if they have a number on them, I never know how much postage is, so I always end up putting like 4 of them on there just to be safe. I'm spending like $6 to send a letter to the power company or something. All right, number 4. This one is bizarre. So it's not bizarre, but it's I found the commentary on it bizarre, and I read a bunch of the comments on ListVerse that people had made, and that was weird too, because it's an ad for a bicycle, a woman's bicycle called a Victoria Ladies Bike, and the thing that the ad is really focusing on is the Victoria tilting saddle. And the thing that the person who wrote this article focused on, they said they couldn't understand what it was. Immediately, their assumption was that it was going to protect women's clothing. Actually, immediately, their assumption was that it was something dirty. But they came back to it was going to protect women's clothing from like stuff splashing up from the street. And so I guess they looked at the picture and saw that thing that's covering the back wheel and thought that that's what it was. But the saddle of a bike is the seat. And I looked at a couple of other ads that were like during the same time period, and it showed like there's a spring on the seat. So I think what they were actually trying to get across was that the seat would tilt to help you get on and off better with all of your heavy skirts. So I didn't know where to focus on this one. But, a bike is cool.
Yeah. My first thought actually with that one was I was like, oh, it's just weird. I don't get it. And then I showed it to a friend of mine, and she looked at it and she was like, her first thought was like, oh, wonder if that has to do with the whole thing back when they didn't want women to ride bikes and how to get like maybe too much information. She was telling me about how like women at one time weren't supposed to ride bikes or ride horses because it would affect them emotionally and maybe get them excited in ways, and they weren't supposed to do it. And she was like, that was her first thoughts. And I was like, I don't know.
Interesting.
I don't know, but like, I know that I read that before about like in history when they used to say it. So my thought was like, oh, is this a really sexist thing?
Maybe. Well, or maybe it's like the opposite, and it was like, so here's one, we're gonna say that it's good for getting on and off the bike, but really it's good at getting you off on the bike.
That's a good ad right there.
So, I mean, I get the little thing over the back wheel, and that's definitely to prevent you from getting tangled in your bike, right? Because long skirts on a bike, not a good plan.
Yeah, I don't see how anybody with a skirt period could ride a bike at all.
It would be a challenge. I mean, the only thing I can think is that their skirts were so heavy with so many layers that maybe, like, it wasn't going to be flimsy and fragile and blowing around. Maybe you could just wrap them up and, I don't know, tie them into pants. I don't know. It seems like a bad plan.
Because when you see women wearing, riding bikes around that time, it's usually, they're usually wearing those kind of like pantsuit things with, they're kind of fluffy, inflated on the sides a little bit.
Yeah, kind of like a romper.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know.
But I still gave it, actually I rated this one a couple times. I said for a tilting seat, 2 out of 5, because that doesn't make sense to me. And I don't think that would help me stay on a bike. I think I'd fall. The shield thing on the back wheel that the author talked about, I gave that 4 out of 5 because it's not really strange, but that's super useful, especially if you have long skirts on and you can still manage to ride a bike. But I gave bikes full points because they're awesome. But also, can you imagine when they first came out, what they looked like to people? Like, you want me to do what?
Well, my first thing I'll say is, one, I can't ride a bike, by the way.
Oh, no? Have you ever ridden a bike?
I used to ride motorcycles all the time, but I've never ridden a bicycle in my
life.
I
think the balancing would be similar, wouldn't it?
Not really, because motorcycle, you just balance a little bit at the beginning, and then it gets propelled. Somebody's currently teaching me, though, how to ride a bike.
Once you get used to it, it's sort of the same thing, though. You balance at the beginning, but then as you propel it, it balances itself.
Yeah. And my thing is, like, I'll give it only rated a 1 because I'm like, let the women wear the pants so they won't need anything fancy to ride the bike.
Right? Women should be able to wear whatever they want.
Yeah.
I very rarely wear skirts, and if I do, I wear like giant, crazy, floofy, cute skirts. So one extreme or the other.
Yep.
All right. So bike was kind of lame, but now we're 5. How are we doing on time?
We are at 34, or I'm counting down. We're at 34:25 right now.
We might make it.
Yep.
We're not gonna make it. All right. So we didn't quite make it this time, but that's not all bad news. We're planning on a very special episode of all the top items that we've missed. Subscribe so you don't miss that episode or any episode of Shortlisted. We hope you enjoyed this month's show. We had a blast making it, and we're grateful for all of our listeners. For all things Shortlisted, go to shortlistedpod.wordpress.com. Shortlisted is part of the Tin Pod Radio Network. For more episodes of Shortlisted and other Tin Pod projects, you can visit tinuniverse.blogspot.com. If you're a fan of Tin Pod Radio, you can show your support by donating on Tin Pod's Patreon page. We'd love to hear what you thought of our show. If you'd like to give us feedback, your thoughts on this month's list, or your idea for our next top 10, email us at shortlistedpod@gmail.com. And don't forget to check out Erin's other project, Crime Crazy, a weekly true crime podcast. Find her and her amazing co-host Jordan at crimecrazypodcast.com.